In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us.
The mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ, was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our gathering hymn is 707.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. God, you show forth your almighty power chiefly by reaching out to us in mercy. Grant us the fullness of your grace, strengthen our trust in your promises, and bring all the world to share in the treasures that come through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. You may be seated.
The first reading is from 1 Kings. The word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, "Go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So he set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and said, "Bring me a little water and a vessel, so that I may drink." As she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as I have said. But first, make a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." She went and did as Elijah said, so that she as well as he and her household ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither did the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively, with the congregation reading the bold print. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise.
Put not your trust in rulers, in mortals in whom there is no help. Happy are they who have the God of Jacob for their help, whose hope is in the Lord their God. Who gives justice to those who are oppressed and food to those who hunger, the Lord sets the captive free. The Lord cares for the stranger. The Lord sustains the orphan and widow, but frustrates the way of the wicked. The second reading is from Hebrews. Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one. But he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again, as a high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have had to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Beware of the scribes, who like to walk around in long robes, and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and to have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses, and for the sake of appearance, say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation. He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance. But she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Before I begin the sermon this morning, today is the 100th anniversary of the end of World War I, and churches all over the country have been encouraged to ring their church bells at 11 a.m. I'm going to fudge that a little bit, start that right now. We're going to ring it 21 times. It's known as the Bells of Peace, and I invite all of us to pray for peace as the bells are rung 21 times. May it be so. Amen. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a gospel lesson that really annoys me and maybe those of us who have an abundance. It's this gospel lesson. Deep down, we want to be the widow, but it truly takes spiritual maturity and courage to embody what the widow is doing here in Mark's gospel. In the past, I've made reference to the hymn, "Take My Life That I May Be," and when we sing, "Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold," sounds beautiful, doesn't it, sung? But ridiculous if we're actually expected to do it. Not a mite would I withhold. I've sung it many times, and every time I've sang it, I was lying, each and every time. And it's because I'm lying in church. I feel very guilty about that, right? We love the idea of the widow and what she's doing. But it's very, very hard to embody it fully. So yeah, I hear this gospel lesson and I'm annoyed because even though in terms of total money, I know I've given more dollars to the church than this widow ever gave to the ministry of the kingdom. Yet when we break it down in terms of percentage, what each of us has put in, she puts me to shame because she's giving far more than I've ever given and ever will give. I'm ashamed. I'm humbled. We often don't notice the widows in our midst. In biblical times, widows were in a very vulnerable situation. Women didn't work in that society to earn an income, so they relied on their husbands to support and take care of them. So when their husbands died, they were left in a vulnerable spot. Both orphans and widows were the vulnerable in the community, and they relied on the community to take care of them, to support them. So when I wonder if we notice the widows and the orphans in our midst, I don't just mean literally widows and orphans, but all the vulnerable in our society, all those in need. Do we notice them? Do we notice when they are giving so much, when they're giving their all to the glory of God? We know our shame. We know our hypocrisy. And I believe we want to ignore them because they put us to shame. They hold up a mirror to us that I know I don't want to see. I don't want to see that truth. Because in my sinfulness and brokenness, I want to cling to and hoard the things of this world that I can find myself devoted to. The opposite of giving isn't receiving, it's hoarding. When something is truly of God, we want to share it. We want to give. It's due to the fact that our God is a giving and generous God that that's the case. Notice that when we find ourselves not close to God, we find ourselves serving other gods, and the impulse isn't to share, but to hoard, to accumulate. If money is your God, it's never going to be enough. You're going to want more and more and more. It's hoarding. You don't want to share that. If power is your God, it's never going to be enough power. You're going to want more and more and more. And you're not going to share that or distribute that. You're going to want it all. If attention is your God, you're not going to want anybody else to be in the limelight. You're going to want more and more and more of that. We hear in Psalm 146, verse 9, the Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. We are too ashamed to notice the orphans, the widows, all those in need, but they give their all. Yet the good news is, even though we ignore them, even though we might find ourselves in the place of wanting to accumulate and hoard, God sees them, God watches over them, God upholds them. See, the good news in our lessons is that Jesus becomes the one who doesn't have. Jesus becomes the one that we don't notice, or that when we do notice him, we're ashamed to notice him because of what he tells us about ourselves and the kingdom of God. When on the cross, he becomes an orphan for our sake. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus becomes an orphan, and when he doesn't have literally anything, stripped and beaten, naked on a cross, not having a thing, he gives fully himself, his life, so that all of us might have life through him. Yes, the Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. So you and I know by the cross and empty tomb that the way of the wicked was brought to ruin, and the one who reached out to all people, even those on the margins of society, even those that we are too ashamed to recognize, he becomes a savior for them and for us, for the entire world. This Sunday is about giving. And we can have some very profound reflection upon that, both religiously, but also before the sermon, civically, right? What giving and sacrifice truly means. So when it comes to God and growing in our relationship with God, we give. That's why in Stewardship 101, giving is for the sake of the giver, because we grow closer to God. We grow in our faith the more we give. It's not about balancing budgets. It's not about income versus spending. It's about the giver giving and growing in their faith. If you want to grow in your faith, share your faith with someone. Don't just hide it. Don't keep it to yourself. You talk about your faith. You share it. If you want to be more joyful as a human being, bring joy to the lives of others, and your joy will increase, right? You have to share. You have to give. When we grow with our God, we find ourselves sharing. We find ourselves giving. It's natural. It becomes a part of who we are because we know more and more who God is. In our first lesson from 1 Kings, God is giving the widow who has very little an opportunity to give. I'm not sure if you caught how ludicrous the first lesson is. Elijah, a prophet, finds this widow and says, "Give me some water. Can I have a drink of water?" She doesn't have much. Okay. Then he says, "How about some bread?" And the widow says, I only have enough bread to make a meal for me and my son, and then we're going to die." And his response is, "That sounds great. Can you make me a cake?" Think about that, right? I mean, there's some humor here, right? So Elijah's either very tone deaf or maybe he should run for Congress, right? Because he's just not getting the plight of this widow. Or is he? He understands. God has sent him to this widow to give her an opportunity to give that even, and she does all this. She follows his instructions. She's not afraid to take that risk. And she gives of what she has. And we hear in 1 Kings, she doesn't run out, does she? She has more than enough. See, that's the thing. When we learn how to give, when we grow in faith and are able to give of ourselves, it's not just financial, but all of it, right? Our time, our talent, our treasure. When we can be a disciple of Jesus Christ in that way, we never worry about it running out. Because we know God is with us. God provides. God will guide our way. We no longer fear. We no longer want to hoard. We want to give because God gives. We grow closer to God because we embody the character of God. We grow closer to God because we want to share who this God is with others. We don't want to be isolated. We don't want to hoard. We want to be out there in the public squares sharing all that God has given to us, giving praise and glory to God's name, and this God is real and alive and active in our lives and in the world that we live in. So when we follow the way of Jesus, we're no longer annoyed by the widow in the gospel. We're humbled. See, the times in our lives when we believe we don't need God, that's when we want to hoard, right? We think it's all about us doing the work. We forget what we learn in our faith, that it all comes from God to begin with. That's when we get in trouble. Yet we find ourselves humbled. At times in our lives, it could be a time of trial or it could be a low point. We find ourselves looking to God and He gives us an opportunity to give, to open ourselves up to others, to share the love of God that we're experiencing, even at our lowest points. And we find ourselves growing and growing and growing. We find ourselves more loving of others. We find ourselves more joyful because Jesus is inviting us to follow the way of the cross, to worship a God who gave His only begotten Son, to worship the Son of God, the Savior of the world, that was given up to a death He freely accepted. He gave His life for us. Jesus notices the widows, and in Jesus we notice the widows and all who are in need, that they're giving all that they have for the glory of God. We too follow this witness. So this isn't really about just being more like the widow. It's about the widow in Mark's gospel pointing to the God who became an orphan for our sake, who gave His life to save us. The widow in Mark's gospel points us to this God. She imitates a God who is love. And for us who know the God who is love, are called and invited to do the same. May it be so. Amen. Our hymn of the day is 790. Please rise.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy. For clergy and deacons, especially Adam, our pastor, Sarah, our dean, Daniel, our bishop, and Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, keep them faithful to your call. Lord, in your mercy. Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy. Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them, and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy. Call people to this assembly. Open our lives and hearts so others may draw to you here to hear your word. Receive the gift of baptism and to be fed and nourished with the real presence of our Lord in the bread of heaven and cup of salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation, especially Chris, Alice, Vernon, Candace, Steve, the family of Delbert Bridge, Chris, Ron, Bob and Joanne, Dan, Lola, Cheryl, Art, Tammy, Pierpong, Cameron, TJ, and our homebound. Lord, in your mercy. For all those in our armed services and their chaplains, especially Bill and Ethan, Lord, in your mercy. We commend to your mercy all who have died, especially Delbert Bridge, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord Jesus Christ, you said to your apostles, "Peace I give to you, my own peace I leave with you. Regard not our sins, but the faith of your church, and give to us the peace and unity of the heavenly city, where with the Father and the Holy Spirit you live and reign, now and forever."
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Share with another sign of God's peace.
God will not falter. must be spoken, justice somehow. Lay it at the altar now. What have we to offer? What have we to give? Lives we will live.
Let us pray. God of all creation, all you have made is good, and your love endures forever. You bring forth bread from the earth and fruit from the vine. Nourish us with these gifts that we might be for the world signs of your gracious presence in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, you alone are holy, you alone are God. The universe declares your praise. Beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath.
We praise you, O God.
Generations bless your faithfulness through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future.
We bless you, O God.
We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now.
Thank you,
in a night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering his love for us on the way, at the table, and to the end, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering, within this meal, among your people, throughout the world. blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Christ Jesus, by your Spirit, in your church, without end. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Distribution of the sacrament of Holy Communion will be done continuously by method of intinction. I will be in the center aisle with consecrated hosts, and you will dip the host in either the chalice of consecrated wine or consecrated grape juice, whatever is your preference. We'll have stations on both sides of the congregation. For those who can't come forward, we'll serve you in your seats first. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here, and he offers himself to you. Come to the banquet, where all is now ready. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Let us pray. O God, our life, our strength, our food, we give you thanks for sustaining us with the body and blood of your Son. By your Holy Spirit, enliven us to be his body in the world, that more and more will give you praise and serve your earth and its many peoples. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Any announcements for the good of the community? There is an annual congregational meeting following our worship service, so after Jen says go in peace, if you're a voting member, don't go right away and stay for the meeting. As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Our sending hymn is 679. Go in peace, serve the Lord.